Hey everyone, welcome back to Seeking Witchcraft. I'm your host, Ashley, and today we have a really special conversation lined up about pagan parenting. Joining me are two amazing guests, November, who's currently 8 months pregnant and preparing to welcome her little one this November. Love that. And Angela Z, who many of you will recognize from previous episodes. Angela is a pagan mom raising a child of her own, and today she'll be sharing her experiences while answering November's questions about what it's like to walk the path of parenthood as a pagan. For those who've been listening for a while, you might remember November from the Witches and Wine Uncensored, the Coven and Cain episode, and Angela from our episodes on cleansing, charging, consecration, and grounding, as well as the Aleister Crowley Thelema and the Relationship to Witchcraft episode. So I'm really excited to welcome them both back to the podcast for this conversation. And yeah, so welcome Angela Z and November. Would you mind telling the listeners a little bit about yourself, whoever wants to go first?
Sure. My name is November. I am a first degree Gardnerian witch. I am 8 months pregnant with a little boy. And yeah, I just have things that float around in my mind all the time, of course, regarding pagan parenting and, you know, what this path is going to look like for me. So I'm just really excited to be here and have this opportunity.
Awesome. Thanks so much, November. Angela Z, do you mind reintroducing yourself?
Sure. Thanks, Ashley. So my name is Angela Z. I am a third degree Gardnerian high priestess. I have run a Gardnerian coven for about 26 years. I have a little boy who is about to be 11 in 2 weeks. And magic and the occult has been a really giant part of my life. So when the baby came along, figuring out how those two went together was challenging but necessary.
Yeah, I bet. I wouldn't even know where to start. And so November actually came to me with this idea of having somebody to ask who has gone through being a parent while also being pagan. And I was like, oh, I know somebody. And so that's how I got connected with Angela Z. So this episode is mostly going to be November asking Angela Z questions while I kind of sit back and try to facilitate it as necessary, or maybe even ask my own questions. So with that, November, I will take it away to you.
Awesome. Thank you. So my first question, I did have one that was, how long have you identified as a pagan or a witch? You said 26 years running a coven, but yeah, just how long in general?
Well, I am 46. I joined my coven when I was 18. So the majority of my life, literally all of my adult life. And I got into witchcraft in high school in the 90s. So we're going on well over 20 years, almost awesome. 30, but I don't want to think about that.
Awesome. And then just to lean into that, I had, how do you personally define pagan parenting?
Ooh, that's a big question. For me, it means approaching parenting, allowing for curiosity and an open mind. So I want to teach a respect for the gods and for nature to my son while still allowing him the ability to make his own choices. And it was really important to me that he didn't grow up with any religion forced on him. I've seen lots of parents who have children and raise them pagan. When the child hits teenage years, they actually rebel by becoming Christian. And I've seen that over and over and over again, and I was trying to avoid that pitfall. So we had the gods in the background of our home, but he was never forced to participate.
Awesome.
I love that you brought that up, because I was actually really, really curious about that. As somebody who was raised in a household where I was told what my religion was, I didn't get to choose it. And that I'm not that type of religion anymore. So yeah, I was curious kind of going into pregnancy and having a child, that thought process of like, oh, should I raise my kid with a specific religion? Like, I don't know. I was just curious about that. So I'm glad that you touched on that.
We taught him that no one has the ability to teach anybody else how to feel about the gods. That's something you have to discover on your own.
And for me, I kind of preemptively view like a pagan parenting approach as almost more of like a lifestyle type thing, like raising your child to be respectful toward the earth and like to be loving to their community, to be loving toward their home, and you know, just very rooted in all of that. So that's very similar to what I was thinking. So my second question, Life in general obviously changes drastically when you have kids. Did your personal practice change after becoming a mom? How so?
Yes, in so, so many ways. Before having kids, I was someone who could sit and gobble up books and have really niche projects that would take me months to complete. After I had my son, my ADHD was exacerbated and got much worse. It was nearly impossible for me to sit and read between my job and the baby. I ended up discovering audiobooks, which I thought I would always hate. And now audiobooks and podcasts are the primary way that I consume information. The flavor of my coven also changed. Prior to having a son, I would say I had a very adult coven. We would meet late at night if we needed to. There was a fair amount of substances consumed after circle that would not be appropriate for a younger person. And after I had my son, my coven became very PG for a while. The whole look of it changed. My approach to meditation changed because I was doing it earlier in the day. My whole practice became more solar because I was up during the day, more active during the day, yet somehow also up all night with a baby. Yeah, honestly, everything changed. I was still rooted to the same gods, but I had to relate to them in a different way.
That's a really cool way to describe that, actually. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
So I quickly learned that so for the first year, like particularly this first 6 months, if something wasn't about my baby or my job, it wasn't happening in my life. Everything else mm-hmm. just kind of got pushed to the side, which was hard for me as somebody who always really centered my occult practice to suddenly have it not necessarily on the back burner because it was always in the front of my mind, but my physical life, it didn't have a place. So I had to root all of my personal practice into things that involved him. So my nightly meditation became a short, I don't like to use the word prayer, but we do a thing that we call the wishes every night before bed. So his patron deities when he was younger were Mama Moon and Mr. Sunshine. So every morning we'd go out and we'd like say a thing to Mr. Sunshine where we'd say hello to the sun and we'd say hello to the plants. And if you're from a high magic background, you understand that I got that from the Lever Reshvel Helios ritual, but I wasn't going to do that with my infant or my toddler. So I changed it to Mr. Sunshine and rewrote the words to something I could say with him. So even if I forgot, he would expect me to do it.
I remember you mentioning that on a previous episode we had a while ago about this little thing that you would say to the moon with him at night. And I'd like always stuck with me because I forgot exactly what, because I think you said exactly what it was. And I remember it being really cute back then.
So during the day when he was younger, it was just like, good morning, Mr. Sunshine. You know, at night it was just, we would blow the moon a kiss and we would say, you know, good night, Mama Moon, or hey, Mama Moon is there. Doesn't she look pretty tonight? And as he's gotten older, we've kind of shifted it. So during the day, we say, the first time we see the sun, we say, praise Helios, God of the sun, giver of light and warmth and nourishment. May your rays touch all those who dwell in dark spaces. And then at night before bed, we say, and this is what we call the wishes, it's, may all those who are sad find happiness. May all those who are sick be healed. May all those who are hungry find nourishment. May all those who are lonely and depressed find community and connection. May all those who are suffering find comfort. May all those who are grieving find peace. May all souls find love and joy. So mote it be.
Oh, that's so cute.
I love that.
It really forces you to think about what you really want to teach your kid in terms of theology. You know, when you have to explain to your five-year-old while we're leaving cakes out for the fairies, you really figure it out how to explain it.
Yeah, I actually haven't mentioned this yet, but I do have a four-year-old stepdaughter as well. We have limited time with her because she's in a different state. But when we do spend time together, she, you know, loves just the idea of like the witchy stuff that I have in the house. And, you know, she's growing into someone who's finding it all very special. She's very curious about it. So my next question was actually, you know, and I know that your son is 10 now, so I'm sure things are shifting a little bit at this age. But when did he first express, if he did, his like own curiosity or interest in the craft? And what did that look like for him?
Well, we've always had a home altar set up in our house, so probably interacting with that. He would see the big statue, and I do this thing where I have a little cup of barley at the base of my goddess statue, and I light some candles, and I pick up some barley, and I throw some at the foot of the statue. And he thought that was cool when he was pretty young. He liked throwing things at the statue. He got very into the Greek gods when he was pretty young. See, it's a little hard to differentiate between what was a story and what was finding the gods. You know, I surrounded him with all of, like, the young child version of the Greek myths. So he interacted with all of those from a pretty young age and seemed to really dig it. Do you know what you're going to do in terms of what it's important for you to teach your child about your religion?
Not really, not quite yet. I feel like so far, just trying to keep and strengthen my own personal practice and sort of, like you said, just have my altar space there, have it available, let him explore or become curious on his own, you know, celebrate Sabbats and just kind of involve him in that way. I did, over the weekend, celebrate the autumn equinox, and we did have my stepdaughter here for the weekend. So I had ChatGPT help me write a specifically kid-friendly version of a ritual because I was like, I don't know how to write something kid-friendly. But that was a good sort of like dipping my toe in to creating a practice or creating some sort of tradition that is kid-friendly and that I can help, you know, just like expose those little celebrations and those little connections with the rhythm of the earth really is my main thing. It's trickier, like, with my stepdaughter versus how it's going to be with my own son, just because I don't want to, like, overstep or, like, introduce her to gods or, you know, she's got other family that, you know. But with my son, I think that it'll probably be a little bit more involved. Like, I enjoy how you mentioned, like, the Mama Moon and the Mr. Sunshine, right? Like, that's a little bit more deity-based, but still, like, loose enough for him to interpret on his own and grow into.
Have you heard of a website yet, or have you discovered Little Pagan Acorns?
No.
So it's a website that just has, it's obviously put together by a pagan mom. It just has coloring sheets for each of the Sabbats for little kids with, like, crossword puzzles and little, like, craft projects, little recipes that you could make with different kids. Just tons of great resources, like, readily available. If you're not, like, a crafty mom and you just want to hit print and go, they're all there.
Oh, awesome. I'll definitely write that down. Thank you.
I'm going to put the link to that in the episode description as well. And while you two were talking, I was actually doing a little bit of Googling just to see if there were any kid-friendly books for celebrating the Sabbats with your kids. I found like one book, but I feel like there'd be a good market for that. And part of the reason I think that is because we did a baby shower for November. And I know our coven got her some like witchy things. Like I got her some witchy baby books. The cutest one was called C is for Coven. And I remember it was so cute. We went through it as a coven and read it. It was the most adorable thing. But I remember there was actually like a plethora of different books for kids that were a little bit more pagan focused. But yeah, I guess looking at the other side of that, there doesn't seem to be as big of a market for like how to celebrate Sabbats with young children. So I don't know. Anybody listening, that might be a good little book to look into.
I know one of the classics is called Circle Round, and that one is more about people who want to specifically raise their kids pagan.
I have not ever really used ChatGPT much. I've had it in my phone forever, but like never made use of it. And I was like trying to write this ritual, and I was like, I don't know what I should do. So I said, let me use ChatGPT on my phone. And that actually went like very well. You know, the ritual ended up being very general, but it helped me write like a little story about the sun and the earth and, you know, making the choice as best friends to like balance the light and dark together twice a year. And it also helped me out and like wrote a very kid-friendly like Persephone story. So that was a really cool way for me to not just, you know, get the job done, but also see for the future, like, how if I wanted to really put my own and write it on my own, how to, you know, make that younger. It was cool.
Ashley, we have a mutual librarian friend, Maggie. So I kind of joke that for every era of Baker's life, there is a books recommended by Maggie shelf on his bookshelf. So if you wanted to hit them up for good books regarding this, I remember them giving me a laundry list of books. It was great.
Oh, yeah, I can definitely reach out to them and pass it along to November. I did look into the book you talked about, Circle Around. I'll put a link to that in the episode description, but you're right. It is Starhawk. And that also reminded me about an episode I did a while ago with it's for an organization called the Spiral Scouts, which is kind of like the pagan equivalent of a girl or boy scouts. It's not totally pagan, but pagan, pretty pagan, honestly. So that's also another thing that I know is available for children if there is a chapter in your area.
Awesome. So I guess we'll move into my next question. So one thing that I've been sort of not like stuck on, it's just been on my mind, you know, with the holidays, there are so many like social and familial things there. And Christmas is very culturally significant. So, you know, my son's older sister celebrates Christmas, does the Santa thing. All of his cousins celebrate Christmas, do the Santa thing. And obviously I am not Christian and not planning to raise him Christian, but I'm also thinking ahead about navigating it in a way that does not make him feel excluded. So I am curious how you celebrate the Sabbaths / winter holidays in your household and how your personal holiday traditions are similar or different from how you celebrate with extended family or friends who are not pagan.
That's a really hard one for a lot of pagan parents. I am incredibly lucky in that my whole family knows that I'm a witch and they don't give me any crap for it. I think it was probably weirdest for my mother-in-law to accept, but she was also incredibly loving and generous and understanding. So she is Christian, and she approached me when my son was young and said, well, are we allowed to talk about like the nativity? Can I have a nativity scene up? And when he comes over and asks me about it, what should I say? Because she didn't want to be disrespectful to my beliefs. I am incredibly lucky in that sense. I know a whole lot of people are not given that grace by their extended family. I know way more friends who have to accept that their children are going to receive a lot of Christian instruction when they visit family. So in my home, there is no real trace of Christianity. So the Sabbaths are the Sabbaths, and that's just what they are. And then we teach respect for all religions. So when you go to Grandma Chris's house, you respect the fact that she's Christian, and you respect the fact that she worships Jesus. And if you want to get her a present, it should be a Christmas present because that's what she celebrates. Probably the one thing that's maybe a little bit different for us is we also celebrate Día de los Muertos. So that's just like one more holiday sandwiched in. And if you're a person who celebrates Día de los Muertos and you're pagan, it's like this. So some people will smash them, Día de los Muertos and Samhain, together. I don't do that. To me, they're two very, very separate holidays. So there's always this like giant holiday flip, like right after October 31st, going into the 1st and 2nd. But he already knows all of our holidays are different than everybody else's. So it's just one more weird holiday on the pile. One thing we do, we make a really big deal out of Thanksgiving because that's one holiday we celebrate that everybody else celebrates too. So we try to have friends over and have like a big party and try to have kids over so he can celebrate that with other people.
But I was going to ask kind of a similar question, Angela, if you don't, and November, if you don't mind me butting in, I guess mostly for Angela, have you had to deal with any pushback from like parents at your son's school who may know about your practice life, if they know, or like had to be the parent to be like, oh, you know, your friends can't come over because I don't know, maybe you have like an altar set in a place where a child might see it and there might be questions. Like how have you kind of like navigated not hiding your true self, but also like being sensitive to how that could potentially impact like your child.
I just want to cut in for a second and just say that's so funny, Ashley, because my next question was the same exact thing.
Oh, I was reading your mind.
Yes.
Also a really hard one. So when he was younger, I would keep my altar in a separate room, mainly because I didn't want him like running into it when he was little. Now it's just out. And so far, we haven't had to deal with that. He's always kind of known that religion is a very private thing for us. So he doesn't really volunteer information on that. And I've never specifically told him you can't tell people about this, but he somehow just knows not to disclose it, which sounds really weird because I'm someone who thinks that like children should not have secrets, and it's not a secret, but it's private. I anticipated having more issues than I did. So he had to fill out a questionnaire for school once where they specifically asked him, does your family celebrate any religious holidays? And I remember he like scrawled, I just prefer not to say. And I was like, oh, well, that's convenient. Thank you. You know, now I did get his teachers. Every year I donate books to the school, to the classroom library. There's one I donate called The Shortest Day. And it's a poem about the shortest day of the year, but the book is illustrated so that it celebrates all religions. There's a section on Judaism, there's a section on Islam, a section on Christianity, and if you know what you're looking at, there's a big pagan section as well. So I don't know if his teachers ever read it, but they certainly have the ability to because I make sure that they have it.
We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back in just a moment. All right, and welcome back. This is totally unrelated to that, but you mentioning that book reminds me, I do events in my apartment complex, and every year when, you know, December comes around, whenever I do our calendar for the year, I always make sure to put some Yule symbolism in there, like a little Yule log, because I'm like, well, I know what I'm putting in here and I want to see this on here, but I know like my leasing office.
I actually had more drama with my little brother growing up. I was more dramatic in my craft when I was younger, just because I was new and I was like all gung-ho and I was pretty goth back in the day. And I remember my mom calling me one day and saying she had to go into school because my little brother had to write an essay about a family member and wrote about his witch sister and all the spells she cast. And they were like, no, Baker, this is supposed to be nonfiction. And he's like, it is. And my mom had to go in and explain, oh my gosh, my daughter really is a witch.
That's so funny. Yeah, and do you actually have, this is also like kind of a strange question, but when I was little, I actually discovered Wicca and witchcraft mainly through my next door neighbor who was Wiccan. You know, I don't know necessarily like if she was part of a specific tradition. I know that she ran a coven. She had them over all the time. And I was like 6, 7, 8 years old, and I would just go knock on the door. I'd be like, can I come play? Like, can I come see the witchcraft stuff? And she'd be like, sure, of course. And I'm sure I bothered her a lot. And yeah, but I guess my curiosity is, does your son have any friends who are like particularly interested and curious about your craft?
Not yet. We'll see how that goes, but I don't think any of his friends have noticed yet. Plus, it's also anything associated with me is very not cool right now. And when he was younger, he was very into the Greek gods, and now he's experimenting with atheism. So the last thing he wants to do is talk about me or like any of my weird craft stuff that I do. When I am getting ready for Circle, he does kind of yell out, you know, have fun sacrificing the goat, which just cracks me up. But yeah, anything related to me is highly uninteresting at this point. I'm the last thing on his list that he's interested in.
Yeah, that's the tough part. I like to think that my son will think I'm cool forever, but I know that's not the reality.
You will be the center of his world, though, for 5 years. Like, nobody will ever look at you with love and admiration the way your toddler does.
I'm so excited. I'm also a Scorpio, giving birth to most likely a Scorpio, as long as he comes on time. But so that's something that I'm excited about in that sense is, you know, the potential there for him to sort of have like maybe an innate interest in the dark and the mystical and everything.
You've got a good chance with a Scorpio baby.
Absolutely. So my next question is, what is your greatest joy and your greatest challenge of pagan parenting?
Oh, wow. My biggest joy is definitely when I see him connect in the gods in a way that I don't orchestrate, when it just comes organically. When he's in front of the altar and I see him looking at it or throwing barley and I didn't say, hey, you want to do this now? And he just does it on his own. Or after we had said the wishes for so long that I realized he had it memorized and he could say it by himself. That was really huge. The biggest challenge is definitely when he asks me, why does everybody else get their holidays off and we don't? How come in school everybody talks about their religion and talks about Christmas and we don't? He asks those questions a lot now, less than when he was younger, but when he was like 6, 7, it really bothered him. And it was horrible to have to explain to him why, because I wanted to be truthful, but I also didn't want to instill in him any sort of hate or animosity towards another religion. And it's really hard to walk that line.
Honestly, I have that question. Yeah, the too. Funny Why don't thing I get is work
that my job took it upon, normally we all make our own schedules, and for some reason this next cycle they made them for us. They took it upon themselves to schedule me out until 11 days before my due date, which I was like, okay. But I was looking and I was like, if they scheduled me on Halloween, I'm just going to tell them that I have a religious exemption and to leave me alone. But I also might not make it that far. So
it's important to set some boundaries. Absolutely. The first few Christmases were really hard because I had managed to really shelter myself from a whole lot of Christian influence in my life, just because I've been pagan for so long. And all of a sudden with a kid, it's all over. It's in your face. Family who haven't talked to you about religion in so long are calling and asking, you know, what should I get him for Christmas? And you're like, that's really sweet and wonderful. Also, I don't celebrate Christmas, and you've known that about me for 20 years. You know, it's like suddenly my dad just forgot that I was a witch. It's like, you've known me my whole life. I remember we were in line at Target once, and my partner, we were walking up, we're getting ready to check out, and I'd had a really bad season in terms of dealing with just Christianity in my face all day long, every day. And the woman at the checkout line, it was Christmas Eve, turns to my little boy and says, shouldn't you be at home waiting for someone to come visit? You know, obviously talking about Santa. And I remember my partner looked at her and was just like, look, lady, not everybody's Christian. And I was just like, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for saying it.
That's awesome that he was able to like protect you in that way during that time.
Yeah, I think he knew that I needed it in that moment.
Yeah.
He's like, not everyone believes in Santa. Not everyone's Christian. Let us through.
I was on a work call or like a, not a work call, a work committee a couple years ago. And we were talking about, it was so long ago, but I don't totally remember all the details, but essentially we were talking about the holidays. And I remember everybody was talking about Christmas on the call and they asked me something related to Christmas. And I remember saying like, oh, I don't celebrate Christmas. And I remember seeing like a bunch of faces in this, you know, Teams meeting I was in, just kind of like look at me strangely, like what?
Yeah.
And it's one, yeah, that was,
it's one thing when you don't believe in Christmas. It's another thing when you tell everybody, please don't talk about Santa to my child, or I'll talk to your child about, you know, not Santa.
I do love a Santa Claus Christmas, but that's not the real Christmas, the quote-unquote real Christmas. So I'm like, yeah, I'll put up a tree. Put a little Santa Claus on it. I think it'll be cute. But no, I understand. Yeah, I can imagine that would be tough, especially too for kids.
Yeah, it's a lot to ask from them at an early age. But we kind of made the decision very early on that we were never going to lie to our son if we didn't have to. And we didn't want to build him up for what we felt like would be just a letdown when he found out that it was a lie.
Absolutely. There was, you know, I was doing some reading, I think on Reddit or something like that, just different people's opinions on the whole Santa thing while raising children. And a lot of, I don't even remember which Reddit page it was on. It was either witchcraft or paganism. I don't know. But there are surprisingly a lot of pagan parents who actually do still do the Santa thing with their kids, I guess just to, for the social aspect of it. But I sort of side-eye that a little bit, and I'm like, well, it kind of goes against what I believe in the sense of, one, don't lie to my kid, and it definitely goes against what I believe in the sense that, like, it's just not part of my religious or, you know, spiritual approach to life. But yeah, I was just very confused. And I was wondering, I'm like, well, like, am I supposed to do that just to, like, protect him from, I don't know, outing the secret to other kids, particularly maybe like his sister or my nieces and nephews, which my sister has 4 children who all believe in Santa Claus. So it's going to be tough to navigate. But I think that, you know, open communication and being very honest with them is the best way to navigate that.
Oh, 100%. You know, and the great thing is that when it's your little family and your mom, you get to say, you get to decide what those holidays are all about, and you get to pick and choose. There's so many people who celebrate parts of cultural Christmas and just want their kids to have that magic, or at least to be able to share it with other children while also knowing that this is just for fun. We don't really believe that. Or you could say, hell no, not in my house. You make the call.
So I have 2 more questions for you. And I'm so sorry. I don't know if you guys can hear my dog, but she is in her crate in the next room because we just moved into a new apartment and she's had trouble with barking at... she's never been in an apartment building before. So she is always freaking out at every like footstep and sound that she hears around us. And it seems like she's pretty much done with the crate at this point. So she's barking also, but I'm 2 rooms away, so hopefully you guys can't hear it. But my next question is, what do you hope that a pagan parenting approach helps your children learn and achieve in this lifetime? Or your son. Sorry, I typed it out before I knew.
Oof. You have personal freedom to believe and connect with the gods on your own terms. You're not a slave to anybody else's religion. You don't have to follow anybody else's rules. The sacred is going to be what you make of it. And this world is bigger than us. This world is bigger than your mundane problems. This world is bigger than one individual season or one individual emotion. Spring always comes. The gods always come back for us, one way or the other.
That's beautiful. And my last question is, what is your advice to witches, pagans, and /or practitioners who are becoming new parents for the first time?
Oof. Focus on what's important. It's really easy to get caught up in the little details of one particular holiday or one particular symbol. Try to figure out within yourself, what are the important parts of the craft? What are the important parts of your practice? And I bet those parts translate pretty well to anyone, regardless of how old they are. What are the pieces that are important to you that you think people should know?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just nervous right now, to be honest. But I think that no matter how nervous I am about the journey of not just parenting, but taking a pagan approach to parenting, and, you know, I feel like no matter what, as long as I stay true to myself and who I am, and I'm always working to improve, and that's really what this path does for me personally, is puts me in a constant state of wanting to balance myself spiritually, emotionally, physically, mentally, everything. So as long as I have my brain focused on achieving that balance, then I think that my son's going to be a very happy boy. and I think that he'll be happy with how things turn out. And I think that all of the fears or worries that I have will just melt away over time once I see the reality rather than what my anxieties are, because I have horrible anxiety all the time. And being responsible for another human and, you know, helping them build from scratch a life of their own and a path of their own, it's a very, very big, scary responsibility, but it's one that I'm not taking lightly, and one that I know that if my connection to the gods is as strong as it can be, and if I'm on a constant path of self-understanding and self-improvement, then I don't have to have any fear, and I just have to trust in the process.
It sounds like you were very well prepared. That's a very level-headed way to look at it. You know, if you're happy and safe, your baby's going to be happy and safe. And I would say to you specifically, but also to women out there, when you're so bogged down in the mundane and it seems like your whole world is diapers and feedings and figuring out when you can squeeze in another hour of sleep, don't discredit the amazing act of magic that you're doing. I see motherhood all the time being downplayed in magical communities as something that, oh, that's going to distract her from the coven, that's going to distract her from her practice. Bullshit. Like, this is one of the most amazing magical acts you will ever do. You know, every now and again, I'm in a conversation with some magic dude bro who's trying to impress me with how he altered his diet and his meditation routine for 6 months or a year. And I throw out there, I once split my soul in two and opened a portal into this realm to manifest a being on this plane. So, you know, have at that. you can't compare to that. So don't ever, ever downplay the amazing magic that you're bringing into this world. Just because your body does it naturally, and just because you do it with grace and subconsciously, or some people do it easily, doesn't mean it's not really, really fucking powerful.
Absolutely. And that was, you know, one thing that, one of the first few musings, I guess, I had on, like, how my life was going to change when I found out that I was pregnant was, you know, I just got initiated last summer, and this was an unexpected pregnancy, one that I'm very happy about, of course, but unplanned nonetheless. And I know now that my journey through learning the Gardnerian tradition and my journey through developing more as a witch is going to be slowed down a bit. And when I think about it, at first I was kind of like just a little bummed or jealous, like I'm going to watch my brothers and sisters in my coven kind of advance and grow, elevate faster than I will. But also, I think that since I'll be not only slowing down in my practice, you know, I'm also going to be slowing down in every other aspect of my life. And I think that it's actually going to help me, like, divide and conquer a little bit better, because I am, like, historically very chaotic and lack focus in a lot of things. And so I think having this opportunity to really slow down and be like, okay, well, I'm not going to do things as fast as other people anymore. I have this big responsibility. I have this other human that I'm going to be caring for. And that's going to make me appreciate everything around me so much more, I think, and help me appreciate and, like, just pay more attention to I have such a bad habit of moving too fast, and so I'm actually very excited to slow down.
That sounds amazing.
Thank you so much.
November, you're
congratulations on everything. It's just, it's such an exciting time. I know you're going to be an amazing, wonderful mother.
Thank you so, so, so much. And I hope that we stay in touch now that we have a little Facebook group chat. I'm going to add you.
Aww.
Absolutely.
Oh, well, I didn't expect to listen in on this conversation and towards the end of it tear up a little bit because I was so beautiful at the end there. But I'm very excited. And oh gosh, I just want to thank both of you so much for taking your time tonight to talk about this and talk with each other and let people listen in on the conversation, because I'm sure this will probably touch a lot of people who are going through a similar thing or just curious, because I know I was certainly curious. So I guess before you both go, I want to ask both of you, November and Angela, doesn't have to be related to this episode.
You already knew mine. It's be promiscuous with your magic.
Brand new.
Get in there, fuck around and find out.
What would it be?
Oh, I love that. My advice.
Yep. I do remember that one.
To try to be as fearless as you can. So pretty similar to Angela's. But dip your toe into as much as you can, feel out, different avenues, feel out different teachings. There's so many different resources out there that are available. And so just don't be afraid to try things until something works for you. I have like a personal bad habit of like, oh, something didn't work out or feel right this one time that I did it. Poof, gone, give up. So like stay persistent and consistent and continue to try things because eventually you will find something that does work for you and somewhere that you belong.
Oh, I love that. And I guess I should have probably asked this before, and if you don't have anything, that's fine. But if you have any social media,
I have an Instagram
like to share for the listeners to get in contact
Instagram
with you,
stuff.
Feel free to share it, but if not, that's okay
it's
too.
It's called Lemon Crush Monday, because I used to drink lemon crushes on Mondays. And there is a link on there as well to my little taxidermy page, which I haven't practiced since pregnant. Obviously, it's not safe to handle dead animals, but I was doing some bones and skulls stuff, so that's Nove's Cavern. So either of those.
Awesome. Well, I will put that in the episode description. And if anybody wants to find me, you can find me on Instagram at Seeking Witchcraft. I have a personal one if anyone's interested. It's at Spells and Kettlebells. You can also find me on Facebook at Seeking Witchcraft Podcast. And if you are interested in supporting the show, you can do so at patreon.com/seekingwitchcraft. Thank you both again, Angela and November, for coming on and having this conversation. Really, this was so honestly wholesome. and yeah, best of luck with everything, November. You're going to do great.
Thank you so much, Ashley.
And it's all going to be good, and I'm super excited for you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye, everyone.